Shalom and good morning. Are you happy? My name is Sami Choye. I'm from Burkina Faso. I'm a believer of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. I'm a Bible translation consultant, and I'm also a pastor. I was sent to deliver a message to you. A special message coming from heaven. This is what the Lord God says. Tell them. Tell each one of them. As individual, even as group. Tell them, I love them. The message is, I love you. I still love you. I will forever love you. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking of you. And all my desire and my heart is that you have life. Life in abundance. Pure joy. Eternal life. I am pleased with you. I know you. I know you are weak. I will give you strength. I know you are worried. I will reassure you. And my presence will always be with you. This is the message that I got from the Lord as I was sitting here. I don't know who this message is addressed to. Greetings from heaven. Today we are going to talk about blood. In a few days' time, we are going to celebrate Pesach, right? And Pesach is about blood. And we have just read in the Parashat of Shavuah, right? Leviticus from chapter 6 to chapter 8. And in chapter 6, there is something that I will come back to it. But this is our readings from today. John chapter 6, from verse 52 to 60. John chapter 6, from verse 52 to 60. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his blood, his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on me, on this bread, will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue, and he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" Is it not hard to eat the flesh of Jesus and to drink his blood? And through this text, Jesus was repeating several times that it is a must. It is something that has to be done. That we should eat his flesh and drink his blood. So what was in the mind of the disciples when they heard Jesus uttering these words? I guess they recall the strong prohibition stated in Leviticus 17:11, but we can go back to Leviticus chapter 6 in our text reading of the week. Chapter 7 from verse 22. This is what he said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. You must never eat fat, whether from cattle, sheep, or goats. The fat of an animal found dead or torn to pieces by wild animals must never be eaten, though it may be used for any other purpose. Anyone who eats fat from an animal presented as a special gift to the Lord will be cut off from the community. No matter where you live, you must never consume blood of any bird or animal. Anyone who consumes blood will be cut off from the community." And Jesus is talking of blood. He's telling his disciples that they should eat his flesh and drink his blood. Those are hard to understand. And even for us today, as we hear this word, we'll say, well, Jesus was speaking metaphorically. When we don't understand anything, something, we just put it as metaphor. That is the escape. But we need to face the reality that we, if we want to abide by him, if we want to live forever, this eternal life, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. I was really disturbed when, as a translation coordinator, I was working with my team, and we were translating the book of Leviticus into my mother tongue. And when we came to this issue of blood, it hit me very hard. And we spent time discussing, talking about this issue of blood. What is it? And coming from a community where we know what is blood. A community where we drink blood. We know what it is. The book of Leviticus is the entry point to my community. If you want to bring my people to know, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you should start from the Leviticus. Because they understand this book very well. It's a community that is really involved into rituals, sacrifices, and so many other things. So they understand easily what is happening in Leviticus, and even the issue of blood. So this discussion and what we came across with my team led me to go deeper into my research and work on my thesis, on my PhD. And I was looking at this concept of eating blood, Ahal Dam, in the Old Testament. Its interpretation and translation into Lobiri. Some of the things that I found here in that text relating to the eating of blood, just to give you some ideas. The word, the concept, the expression eating of blood appears 15 times in three books, mainly Genesis, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And you have also the expression Ahal al-Dam, eating on the blood, which appears 5 times in 3 books also, Leviticus, 1 Samuel, and Ezekiel. Whenever you have Ahal Dam use, it is attached with a prohibition several times, especially 11 times. You will find the law, Lo Tochelu. Do not eat, you shall not eat. What really disturbed me is Ahal Dam in the Tanakh is used with human beings as agent. The subject of the verb is a human being. And using the word Ahal, not Shata, it's also strange. How can you Ahal Dam? How can you eat blood? Blood is not a solid, it's liquid, right? We do have also shata, to drink blood. But drink blood, it's only attested 9 times in the Old Testament. And it is usually used as metaphor with weapons, deities, animals. Deities, shata, blood, not human beings. So what do you do? For the disciple, they know the background of this prohibition. They know what it is. But what Jesus is saying is completely different. Is he really a Jew? To talk like he who is doing? Or what is he trying to tell us? Most of the time, we link this statement of eating the flesh and eating the blood, drinking the blood of Jesus, with the Holy Communion. Because that's where we have Jesus is presenting himself, using the cup, talking of his blood, this cup representing his blood, this bread representing his flesh. And he gave it to the disciples, and they did not ask any question. But before that, they asked questions, and they found it very difficult. But when Jesus took the cup and took the bread, and he said, "This is my body, this is my blood," there was no questions. They did it. And for us, we seem that it looks like what happened is related to Exodus chapter 12, from verse 1 to 14, the Pesach. But when you look at the Pesach, what happened, the instruction given, there is no eating of flesh, of blood, right? There is no drinking of blood. The use of the blood was on the doorpost. That was it. The flesh was well roasted, very well, nicely roasted and eaten. So, shall we say then it is there it is originated, what Jesus is talking about? I don't think so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, we have some references talking of Jesus using the cup. He says the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not, that is Paul speaking, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And there are also warnings against the blood of Jesus Christ. Still in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Hebrews 10, 28 also says, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. So what is happening then when Jesus is telling his disciples? May I submit to you that Jesus was referring himself as the food of God. He is the food of God. In the Old Testament, blood and fat were viewed as the Lord's food. And as we read from Genesis up to, we read the laws and also the rituals, you will always see this prohibition related to blood and fat. Why? Because that's God's food. These two belongs to him. The concept of food in the Old Testament has various frames. And it is running across the whole Bible. And it's so important, even in the book of Revelation, where all of us will partake food. So why is it that Jesus is talking of his flesh and his blood if it is not referring to the fat and the blood that was prohibited? He is the food of God. That's where it is coming from. You shall not eat blood. You shall not eat fat. The two. You can eat everything. And it is only the Shelamim sacrifice, whereby the person offering the sacrifice is allowed to eat the meat. Why? Is it only among all those sacrifices we have only the Shelamim sacrifice where the offerer is allowed to eat meat. So it's about food, but it's about the food of God. Well, some will say, where do you come with this idea? It's not my idea. It's coming from the text. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 6, 7, and verse 15 to 16, this is what it says. And say to the rebellious house, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, enough of all your abominations. In admitting foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, to be in my sanctuary, profaning my temple, when you offer to me my food. The fat and the blood. Those words are not mine. But the Levitical priest, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the people of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and I shall approach my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. The table of the Lord. The table of the Lord is the fat and the blood. And the fat and the blood is Jesus. The blood is where the divine and the human meet. That is Jesus, the divine, meeting with Jesus, the human, and where God meets the human beings. This is the meaning of the new covenant. We were not allowed to eat fat and blood, but now we have been invited to come. We have been granted access to the table of the Lord to eat the fat and the blood. And the fat and the blood is Jesus. And that's where fellowship is. That is the expression of God's love, inviting us now at his table. And Jesus is the food of God. Jesus is referring to himself as the living bread coming down from heaven. He's referring himself as food. And sometimes we say, yeah, this is a metaphor, this is a metaphor. But truly, Jesus is the food of God. And that's what we have to eat if we want eternal life. You must eat his blood, drink his blood, and eat his flesh. In my community, we usually give the blood of animals. We cook it. We make soup or something like that, porridge. For children who do not have enough blood in their body, for them to get more blood. Yeah. Blood is part of food. It is common. It is food for us. Cooked blood, I mean. But raw blood, that one is dangerous. Because once you test raw blood, that is the connection between you and the supernatural. The connection between you and the supernatural is raw blood, testing the raw blood. And when there are clashes, for example, between communities, and you happen to kill your enemy, if you are able to go to that person and taste his blood, it is something you have to do. You have to go and taste the blood of that person you have just killed. Why? Because this blood will cry vengeance. And this blood will not leave you unless you taste it. So you taste it for two reasons. One, to remove this guilt of killing that person and to be protected. But it's also a way to get the life and the power of this person also. So you double your power by tasting the blood of that person. That's why I say we understand what is blood. And when we read Leviticus and we read this text, we know what it is. There is power in the blood. A very strong power. Blood is life. And we need that blood. And today, we are all invited to see Jesus as the food of God, as the fat and the blood that you need if you want to live forever. That's what Jesus said. There is no way you can escape. These words are hard, I know. Because talking is not easy to talk about blood. It has never been easy. But it is through the blood of Jesus that we have access to the table of the Lord. We have been granted access to partake with God, to be in His presence. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to see Jesus as the food of God? Shall we pray? Father God, I know these words are very hard. Very hard to understand. And to make it real in our lives. But the bottom line of this, you invite us at your table. It was not possible in the previous covenant. And that's why people were forbidden to eat fat and blood. But today, through Jesus, you have made it possible. And we want to receive this food from you. We want to accept or to drink from this blood and to eat from this flesh as a way of fellowshipping with you. Father, I pray that each one of us be visited by your Spirit. I pray for grace and favor. I pray for more understanding. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. And we declare that Jesus is the food, is your food. And it is what you have given us, the beloved Son that you gave was indeed your food. And we receive it with joy and grace and gratitude. Thank you for your life and for your presence, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.